Thank you, Ken, for making that particular selection of that. Yes, people need the Lord, that's for sure. Josh, good to see you. Gladys, two of our other dear friends are here. Josh and Gladys Maldonado, and I probably mispronounced that. Is that close enough? That's close enough. You know, we need not only the Lord, but we need good friends and we need people around us to come and rally around behind us. And I tell you what, in this transitional time period for us, moving from our office to our home after 25 years, boy, have we ever needed Josh. And here comes Gladys, his loving bride right beside him. You see, what happens is my type A personality, I figured we could have the movers come on a Thursday and Monday it'd be business as usual. Now, this is back at the end of June, and preceding that was several weeks of trying to get things out of this one room. We call it the fireplace room, and now it's the family room, and now it's an office. And everything that was in there, and it was wall to wall with antiques and a variety of other things, everything went somewhere else except for two chairs. That's the two chairs you ladies sat on last night. It was quite a task. And then, being the accumulator that I am, if you've ever been around me, oh my goodness alive, and Debra's back here smiling. She worked with us, so we had the pleasure of having her services professionally for many years. Charles Shake needs all the help he can get. So Josh comes to the rescue. We gave some of our stuff away, and Josh showed up on a Saturday with a couple of his relatives, and they took the organ that we had to go to an assembly to help them with their services and some other things. And we just found out that Josh was kind of between in a transitional time period himself. So we called him up and said, "Hey, Josh, can you help us for a couple of days?" That was 7 weeks ago. And now he's got this big job that he's starting this week, and we're saying, "Oh, no, Josh is going to be gone." I mean, he's a jack of all trades and master of all of them. I mean, I won't go into all that, but that wasn't part of my notes at all, but I just wanted to share that. But you know what? Yes, we need the Lord. We need the Lord. This rendition, actually, I don't know how I've missed it, but I've never heard it from Steve Green. I remember we, in 2006, when I brought a message similar to this, we had the Central Florida Bible Church Choir, and Ken and many of you were in that particular rendition that we had that day, so that's what I asked you to play, but this was so appropriate. The story behind that, you may find this interesting if you weren't with us then or just forgotten. There were two guys, two friends in Nashville, Tennessee, went out for breakfast one day. I think they went to a Denny's, someplace like that. The pastor of a church where I was here in Orlando, this was BF before Francis, before the Lord brought her into my life, okay? I was going through some rough times myself. All of a sudden that summer, the pastor brought this message and he said, "You know, I was in Nashville over the last couple of weeks on vacation and two of my friends were out for breakfast and here's what happened." Said the waitress came and she just kind of had a spacey look in her eyes and she was preoccupied, and I've been preoccupied and you have too, no doubt, on many occasions in your life. And I was about to take the order and one of the guys said, "Excuse me, ma'am, he was a compassionate guy, a Christian guy, and he said, is there something going on with you or something that we can pray for you?" And she just kind of looked at him and I guess focused and kind of gulped and maybe said, "Well, actually, I'm going through a divorce and things are really tough right now. Really tough." And she kind of, cleared her throat. And then she got back in her professional mode and said, "Well, can I take your order?" Gave the order. She went to fill it. And one of the two guys, and the two guys' names were Greg Nelson and Phil McHugh. I'm not sure which one of them grabbed a napkin and started pinning the words to what you saw up there, what you heard. That the Lord has used to touch the lives of me, perhaps you, millions of other people. People need the Lord. Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people, filled with care, heading who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides the silent cries, only Jesus here. Yes, people need the Lord. So that came out of that in 1983, and how the time has passed since then. So this morning, I added a word to that, and as the Lord brought other things to mind, I added the word, people still need the Lord. Would you agree that since 1983, you think of your own lives, I think of mine. Wow, the Lord brought me Francis. and her family and you guys as a result of that. So what a blessing. What have you gone through? I've gone through a lot. You've probably gone through a lot too. So over this time period, the still part is so vitally important for all of us. We'll always need the Lord. So that, with that as a little background, let's pray as an introduction here. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning and ask that you go before me and prepare the hearts for this simple yet powerful message that indeed people still need you, need the Lord. May hearts be touched as mine was, as my own in preparing this message. Your word is true and you honor it above all else. May it speak to these dear people here and the listeners and the world of the internet all over the world who hear the message. We may have not that many here, but there will be hundreds and hundreds that will hear this over time, perhaps more. But many of those who have not received the free gift of salvation through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and may this be the day of salvation for them, for such people definitely need you, Father. And it's in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ's name I pray. Well, as we look at the title, People Still Need the Lord, those five words, let me just frame that a little bit. People, that's us. We're a people. We're a person. We're part of those of us who are on this planet. And the fact that you're still here and breathing air and you're looking at me, you look good, smell good this morning. You need the Lord just like I do. We know that's no exception for that. All do. The word still is interesting. I thought about that. What does still really mean? S-T-I-L-L. Well, it conveys a message of ongoing, continuity, always, an inclusiveness. And you think about, since 2006 when I brought this message, what has gone on amongst us here? A lot of changes. Personal changes. The Lord has brought some of you here. Some others have transitioned to other places. What has happened in our society? Does our society still need the Lord? Absolutely. Yesterday, Francis and I, we were at a birthday party for one of our grandchildren. The little guy didn't know the Lord yet. His brother didn't know the Lord. Precious little daughter, just an infant, 8 months old now. Certainly doesn't have any comprehension at this stage. As that it was playing, I thought of her, this vivacious little girl. She's here. Praise the Lord for that. She's alive. But yet we, the people, have aborted over 10 million babies in the last 8 years. What a tragedy. Misguided people. Do they need the Lord? Are there messages that we can give? Can we be a beacon of light for these folks? Yes. Other issues in our country, the gay rights being forced on us, all the dimensions of that and other things, the chaos around the world. Yes, there's still a need. The need part means the opposite of a want. We all have wants. I want to have an earth suit where I'm not limping sometime. I want to play racquetball again one day. You know, that's a great, whether that'll ever happen, I don't know. But we have wants. We have wants maybe for our body to gain weight, lose weight, whatever the case may be there. But a lot of those wants that we have are selfish desires. A need is something, however, that we gotta have. We gotta have water. Gotta have air. Okay? We gotta have God's Word. It's alive. We have to appropriate that. And yet, how often I neglect it? Perhaps some of you. We gotta have sleep. It's essential. Rest. The part, people still need the is a definite article. It points to something specific or someone specific. The specific personage that it points to here is our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord. Not just the Lord. The Lord. They're lords, lowercase Lord, that are worshipped by many around the world. But the Lord is our Lord. He is the true God, as we well know. The name above every name. Scripture tells us in Philippians 2, 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The time will come that those who blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ blaspheme Him. The time will come that every knee will bow. What a time that will be. And what regret on the part of hundreds and hundreds of millions who say, no, no, I will not accept Him. I will not have anybody rule over me. The lyrics of the song also depict the hustle, the bustle, the emptiness of society today. It's not surprising that we the people are selfish and desirous of things of the flesh. I mean, the media hammers that constantly over and over and over again. We know that. Things of the flesh, the lust of the eye. We as a society are lazy. We have it all, and yet there's boredom. We can't go anywhere. I've got a smartphone like many of you do without you seeing it. I mean, I used to say I'll never have one of those electronic handcuffs. I got it just like everybody else, okay? Now, I'm still, as Ken knows, I'm trying to master it. I ask him some of the simplest questions sometimes, and he looks at me sometimes with kindness, but he's saying, when is he ever going to learn these things? But here I am trying to figure out technical things and trying to do the bulletin, and wouldn't you know it, the printer goes out. And I had to call him at 10 o'clock last night, and he says, well, Charles, send it to the other computer on the other side of the house, not the other side of town, the other side of the house, and go over there and download it and print it out. Well, I'm a kind of a duh about that time trying to figure all this out, and got the message here today, and my earth suit is tired. Go over there, and that computer says, we can't log on to your master computer. Forget that. With Gmail, he said, go to Gmail. Gmail said, nope, can't get it. So this morning I said, Lord, I'd really like to give a bulletin out. You know, that's kind of been my thing over the years, to give you a bulletin on Sunday morning. Frances said, Charles, they'll understand. She said, I think it's a prideful thing. And I said, you're right. You're right. But I still want to give it to everybody, okay? And I said, Lord, would you please help me with this? And how did the Lord help me? He brought to mind Office Depot. Called on Sunday morning. Everybody sleeps in just about, right? They don't open at 8 o'clock. They open at 10 o'clock. So I finally get this guy, a guard on the Office Depot in Winter Park. And Francis and I, ironically, when we got down there this morning, we had witnessed to him about a week ago, Ken. And so he was real kind. I called him three times, and I called him back and said, look, I got this problem. I said, I'm preaching at 11 o'clock this morning, and I don't have a bulletin. Can you tell me what the email address is for there, and when do they come in? He said, well, they come in right just about 10 o'clock, about 5 till, if we're lucky. And I said, well, give me the email address, and I'll email it there, because I didn't think to email it to my smartphone or anything. Email it there, and I'll take the empty bulletin, the blank bulletins down there, and I'll be there, and we'll get here hopefully by 10:30. Well, we missed it by a few minutes. But we got down there, and Francis was saying, Charles, I want to be in Sunday school. I said, I know, babe, I know. But Dale, you have to edit a lot of this stuff out. Okay, so anyway, we get down there, get in there, and they can't find it in their computer. And I said, give me a break. And he said, log into your Gmail, and we'll see if we can find it. They'd gone through all the machinations, and it was the email that they gave me, and they couldn't find it in the master Office Depot. Kept going through all that kind of stuff. And then he turned the computer around, and he said, put your password in. So I put my password in, and I thought, and that wasn't it. I said, oh, my goodness. Francis, what's the password? She said, wait. It was like trying to invoke Ken. I couldn't get Ken. He was leading the opening exercises here, and Dick was already starting to teach this morning. A long story short is, we got it. Got out of there, and this young man that we had witnessed to before was there to help Francis process some of this, and then we're folding bulletins at the red lights and pulling in here. You ever heard of Murphy? Murphy's Law? Okay, I think Satan is behind Murphy's Law, okay? He works overtime all the time. Now, let me go back and see if I can find all this. All that to say, the technological gadgets, we are not satisfied. We want what's more, what's bigger, greater. Josh is educating me a little bit, and we're trying to, for our seminars and everything, have more technological advantages, kins, so forth, too. Okay, let's get back on track here. The people part. Let's put that in perspective, because from the creation of the world, God knew my makeup, and He knew how I was going to be fumbling here this morning, what your condition was. If you came here in a lot of pain, if you came here with needs, you came here looking, you need a job, you need this, you need that, family challenges perhaps. He knew all that way back. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made all of us and brought us into existence for one primary reason, to bring glory, honor, and glory to Him. So we humans, through Adam and Eve, have needed Him from the beginning. And there were instances over and over again where He delivered His people, parting of the Red Sea. Ironically, two of the three hymns today were part of what I was going to use and incorporate here. So when I saw those, I said, well, Lord, you had a reason for Ken to use those versus me. Les, who is going to be preaching tonight, you got to come tonight, because his message is going to be powerful. What to do when you don't know what to do. And we've all been in that case. And I saw his passage and his title, and I said, he's going to use 2 Chronicles 20. I looked down there, 2 Chronicles 21 through 25. That was a lot of what I was going to share this morning. But the Lord wanted you to say it, not me. Okay? So that's going to be tonight, and I encourage all of you to come back, because, man, what a story that was. If you don't know that, read that this afternoon and be primed and ready for tonight. Because here were the people of Judah that didn't know what to do. They were surrounded by three armies, the different armies, and the Lord, well, I won't tell them all, okay? Whew, temptation to say that. Just know that they trusted in God, and then how the Lord miraculously worked. You'd think the parting of the Red Sea was something, and it was. But this was incredible how the Lord used obedience to Him and praise to His name and honor and respect of simply really trusting. I mean, really trusting Him, because they all thought that they were just going to be wiped out. And how simple it was. God uses the simple things to confound the wise. Or the others, they're not wise. They think they're wise, but they're not. Psalms 2:12 says, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Charles, you need to put your trust in Him more. I could use your name, and perhaps that's true in your lives as well. The word trust in the Old Testament is characteristic in the New Testament of the word faith and believe. So words interchangeable, the deep meaning for us, so powerful. So the question is, do we trust Him? Do we have faith in Him? Do we believe Him? Do we start each day and appropriate Him? Do we go to Him in prayer? Do we look at the Scriptures? Or maybe have a devotional? How do you get equipped for the day? If it's perhaps a cup of coffee in the news or the newspaper, boy, there's not a lot of good news there. So I'm not fussing at you. I'm just asking a question. I've been there a high percentage of my life before I really dedicated my life to the Lord and found Him. So these are things that I'm preaching to me more than I'm preaching to y'all. Psalm 5:3 says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. Have you ever awakened and all of a sudden you say, whew, the Lord gave you something during the night, instruction during the night seasons. And sometimes I'll say something to Frances and she'll cross her finger to say, okay, I'll try to remember what it is. I'll either say somebody's name or whatever. And then when we finish our snuggling and devotion and everything else, then I'll write that down. Sometimes she forgets what her fingers will cross for. Oh, boy. But that's okay. She's the most precious woman in the world. Psalms 5:3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. So do we seek Him? Do we pant for Him as a deer pants for water? A dear friend of ours sent us a recording, a CD, and it has its three renditions. Ken, you'd really appreciate this. As a deer pants for water, does your soul long after Him? I'm ashamed to say my soul hasn't longed after Him for much of my life. And I'm a sinner like you. We all are. I'm not pointing any fingers. And there are times right now that I don't long for Him like I should. Do we need Him or just want Him? And Lord, bail me out of this situation. I've been in situations where, boy, I sure have wanted bailing out. Whether it's a physical need or whether it's other kinds of needs, relational, family, those are there for all of us. Psalm 9, verses 9 through 10. The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, have not forsaken them that seek thee. He says, you seek me, and I will be found. Draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. Psalm 16, verse 1. Preserve me, O Lord, for in Thee do I put my trust. Then you skip down 10 more verses to verse 11. Thou will show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So we hear these promises, and yet more often than not, we think and act as if it's all up to us. I say, just like up to me this morning. Francis had to bring me up short. Charles, it's really pride you're talking about here. But I felt like I just got to push. If I somehow I get the right person and I'm nice enough to them, I can wheel in there and get this thing printed, get to Sunday school in time and everything else. Do you ever do things like that? You worry about or are concerned with what other people may think? Do you feel like you've got to do something? Well, we have these kind of situations. So God has promised to be with us and to provide our needs, not our wants. So we'd do well to remember Psalm 20. If you go there real quick. Oh, these are great verses. Psalm 20, verses 7 and 8. Here's the arm of the flesh. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. You're going to hear tonight from Les that that's exactly what the people of Judah did. They couldn't count on themselves and their military might. They could call on the name of the Lord and praise Him. And that's what they did. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Psalm 27, verse 1. That's the life verse of one of my kiddos who right now, I wish she were walking more with the Lord than she is. But that was true of me when I was her age as well. Psalm 27, 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Jim Forbes here on the front row is quoting with me. Then in the same chapter, in verses 4 and 5, comes, one thing have I desire to the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. The visualization, if you're set on a rock, you've got a solid foundation. The rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. How hard is it for you to be patient? Some of you are smiling. Probably about as hard as it is for me. Patience is a virtue, right? But it's very challenging quite often to actually appropriate that, talk about it, and do it are two different things. The clear demonstration of needing the Lord is what we're talking about here. How do we follow suit in our life? Well, let's look at some other inspiring and comforting verses. Psalm 46. Go there if you're in Psalms. I love the Psalms. Psalm 46, 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Donna Minnick, we have not seen her for a few years. She's been ministering to her mother. But remember 9/11? She and her Bible club kids actually wrote that in big chalk letters on their driveway. Somebody told the media about it, and it actually showed up on the news one night. Psalm 46:1, right there in the throes. That's when we were, as a people, we were patriotic more so than we are today. You drive down the street and you see people, the flags in the wind there from cars and everything. And I had some American flags and I still have them. You put on the side of your car, magnetic and everything. And yet with the passage of time, that wanes. Boy, I tell you, we have slipped as a people. Whew! Then the follow-up on that is, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Being still is a challenge too. Boy, is it ever for me. The writer Eugene Peterson, I don't know if he's kin to y'all back there or not, Gene, he had a vivid paraphrase. He said, God is a safe place to hide. He's always ready to help when we need Him, though. You see, through prayers, we can step into a calming presence. Isn't it wonderful in the midst of a storm when we have the calming effect? You know, the Lord Jesus, the sea was tumultuous. And He came up and He basically said, ah, guys, peace, be still. Tumultuous sea, the winds, everything else like glass. Peace, be still. we can find the strength to go on when we appropriate the Lord and call on Him to help us to calm down. As we bring our hurts, heartaches, and needs to the Lord, He will meet us where we are and give us that peace. The peace, Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. I don't think I've ever given any kind of message here that I haven't used these verses and a couple others I'm going to share with you. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Media, you know it. She's saying it too. Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. I put anxious in for careful as the second word. You know what that one well too. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We shouldn't forget to thank the Lord for meeting our needs according to His will, His way, and His timing. But everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And as Pastor Minnick used to say, with every beat of the heart, that's where Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 comes in. Peace, peace, peace. So the Lord is an ever-present help for us, who cares for us in every situation that we can be in. We can then sing in our hearts these lyrics. Ken selected this one as the last verse. I won't sing all of them. I'll just share this with you, because we'll close our service with this. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He likely will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. So over and over in the Old Testament, God instructs us to love, to trust, to believe, and have faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. Have faith in Him. Where do you see that? Where is it enacted? In a couple of verses that can be life verses for us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 for me. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. Powerful, powerful verses. Simplistic. And the world will say, you got to be kidding me. You got to be prepared. Well, before I knew the Lord, I got as prepared as I thought I could. 3 degrees, undergraduate, master's, doctorate. When I got that doctorate, very soon after that, I've shared with you, I laid on the floor of my office and cried and said, this is it. This is it. Where's my direction in life? This can't be all there is to it. Do we need Him? Yes. Proverbs 18:24 says, there is one friend, the Lord, that's who it is, who will stick closer than a brother. I've got an earthly brother. I'm not as close to him as I should be or could be, I'm sure. He's in Atlanta. I'm down here. Years apart in age. But there are people, many of you, very close to. But yet, the closest friend, the one that's the most important to us, we so often neglect, the Lord. He's always there for us. He's always got His arms open, ready to receive us, ready to encourage us, ready to be there, instruct us. In the New Testament, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ is clearly shown in John 1:1. You know that too. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Can't be any clearer than that. We've had people, many people that we were talking with and witnessed to and said, well, that's your interpretation. That's what God says in His Word. We take Him at His Word. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He also clearly stated in John 14:6 that the pathway to heaven wasn't multiple paths that would come in and meet. The pathway to heaven, Jesus said simply, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Many pathways? No. One pathway. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is also our great comforter and our need meter. He meets our needs. Do you ever just need comforting? Somebody to come alongside of you, put their arm around you, or give you a call, or send you, today's world, send you an email or a text or something. Say, hey, I've been praying for you. You're in my thoughts and you're in my prayers. What's going on? Can I pray with you? Is there something? And whenever that's happened to me, boy, it's like I say, thank you, Lord. You somehow placed me on their heart. And so they reached out. We're a non-reaching society today. It's more impersonal than it is any other way. And yet, here are those two verses I read early on. Matthew 11:28-29. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So some people may say, well, how in the world do you get this? How do you find this peace? What is it that you have? I want it. I mean, I see a serenity in your life. I see you kind of got your act together, though. You got many challenges. What is it? They may not articulate it that way or well, but you can see it sometime in their eyes. Like, what is it that you have? I sure would like to have that. Well, Scripture says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him, Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever, and that's all of us, that's everybody, whosoever is inclusive, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Romans 10:9-10, and then 13, part of that. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. You see, loved ones, God wants to meet all of our needs all of the time if we will just trust Him and look to Him. He also tells us how to get along with others. How do you get along with others? Ephesians 4:29-32 spells it out very simply. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the believers. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's heavy instruction. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Have you ever had anybody kind of bring you up a little short and say, be kind. Is there any mercy? Can you cut me a little slack here? I used to say to my kids, loving and kind. I wouldn't tolerate, you know, the poochy lip and the folded arm. Get those arms unfolded. Try and get those lips down. Maybe you raised kids and you never had a challenge like that. I had a lot of strong-willed kids. I probably did that when I was a kid. I don't remember. God has a plan for each of us. Being confident in this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:6. Now, who's got the opposite plan? The adversary, Satan. And what does Peter tell us? 1 Peter 5:8. Here's the admonition. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. You can't you just say, I'm coming after you, Charles Shape, with all of my fury. Walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's probably come after some of you at some point in your life. Okay? He comes after everybody. And if we hold up God's word and we quote Scripture, what did Jesus do? He quoted Scripture. Satan fled and said, I'm out of here. We need the Lord because it's plainly stated in 1 Timothy 2:5-6, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We don't have to go through a man. We can confess our sins directly to the Heavenly Father. We can go straight to the throne of grace 24/7, 365. No smartphones needed, no supercomputers, anything else. He is always, always there. He's given us what we need to cope. 1 Timothy 1:7, another one of my life verses. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we've got what we need. His love letter, the Bible, you've got that in your hands. That's what we need. He says, study to show yourself approved. I don't study enough to show myself approved. I'm ashamed of that. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then he says, you can come and have a relationship with me. I'll be as close as you want to be. You draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. I will do that. James 4:8. And he honors his word above all else. His word is alive, appropriated, live it. He wants to have that vibrant personal relationship with us and to serve him and to honor him with every aspect of our lives. And that includes our work as well. Colossians 3:23-24. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. I've been an entrepreneur for 25 years, so I don't work for more than that for a company that you can insert a name, but maybe you do or maybe you did. But in reality, God says, you work for me. Serve me. Honor me with your lives. Honor me with what you're doing, and I will honor you. Because at the end of the day, as they say, the end of our lives, and for some of us that may come faster than we anticipate, we could go out into eternity when we leave here, or maybe even before we leave here. Who knows what's going to happen? Only the Lord knows that. But don't we want to be like the Apostle Paul said, 2 Timothy 4:8, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. I don't want to be eyeball to eyeball with the Lord and have to kind of avert my eyes because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I didn't finish my course. I want to finish strong. I've told Francis that. I said, Francis, my earth suit, man, it's ailing now. Some things are happening, and I can't believe I'm 70 years old. What? Where did the years go by? You insert your age, and you may say that for yourself. Good night, and I look in the mirror. Who is that? Where did all that gray hair come from? What is going on? But yet, in light of eternity, vapor. I said, I want to finish strong. I want to leave a legacy for my kids and my grandkids. Lord, it would be wonderful, I say, if you would leave me here long enough to see my kids come back to you, serve you, honor you, and raise those grandyoungins for you. That's what I want for my legacy. It's not to pile it higher and deeper. We've all got monetary needs, but I've never missed a meal. Have you? I just want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. I'll just close, Lord willing, with a cappella here. Just a couple of things that I think would be appropriate. And Brother Ken will come up. Hymn 666 in our hymn book says this. I'm not going to ask you to sing it. I'm just going to sing one verse. My Jesus, I love thee. Can you say that from the depths of your heart? My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus is now. I'm going to turn over to 676 because, again, as I shared with you, face to face is what we're going to be faced with. One day, what will be your heart? What will be your true condition between now and then? For me, whenever I sing this hymn, it's like I say, man, have I got so many shortcomings? Lord, would you please help me to address these? Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face I shall behold Him.
starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by.
Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are needful people, needful of You, our Lord and Savior. My heart is turned to You, and may other hearts be turned to You with this message, and may salvation come to any who are needful of it. In such a case, they should visualize the Lord literally knocking on the door of their hearts, gently knocking, asking that He can come in. For those of you in internet land who may be listening to this, you can respond in a personal way and receive that invitation that's been issued. Simply pray, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. I believe that You came to earth and died on the cross for my sins. You died and were buried, but rose from the grave to save my soul. I ask You into my heart right now and receive You by faith. Thank You for saving me. Lord, go and guide and direct these people here, these sinners who have indeed been saved by grace. And if there's anyone here who has not, may today be the day of their salvation. It's in Your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.